All right. So, Donna, I'm afraid that I forgot to bring in your theme song by local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruhn. So I will get that for the outro. But okay. I'm sorry. Can we pretend that we heard some nice banjo music?
Yes,
there?
Thank you. We heard some great banjo music.
I'm
from,
embarrassed. Yeah, sorry
from
about
Michael
that,
Bruhn. No, that's great. We'll start the show and pretend we heard the music.
It's community radio.
That's right. And we have to have a big imagination when we're here. Well, good morning, Donna Quinn. And for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. And today we have a celebratory program. It is Coast Community Radio's 35th birthday. KMUN actually went on the air April 17th, 1983. And so this Saturday, there's a big party. It's a community party. It's for everyone. It's at the old Astor Hotel, the Astor Ruins, from 6 to 10 this Saturday night. There will be food. There will be music. There will be wonderful people. And it's everyone. Everyone is invited. You don't have to be a KMUN member or a listener or a programmer. Just everyone in this entire listening community is invited. So to talk about that and a little bit about a history of the station, we have in the studio Joan Herman. Joan is our board president. She also does perspectives on Fridays. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, Donna.
Very happy to have you in the station. And we have Graham Nystrom. You already heard him a minute ago. And Graham is our station manager as of how long has it been, Graham?
Well, it's been about 6 months.
6 months. Okay.
And check it out. Look what I found.
Whoa. All right. There's the music. We
and,
love that music.
Okay,
it's great.
Thank you.
Okay. And by phone, we have Doug Sweet. Doug was the station manager for, I think, 17 years from 1983 when we went on the air until 2001. Hi, Doug. Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, perfect. Yay. Technology is working today. And before we talk about the station, the history, the party, and all of the wonderful things that are happening, let's learn a little bit about each of our guests. So why don't we start, Joan, if you don't mind, please, a bit
sure.
about yourself.
Well, I first moved to Astoria in 1986 to accept a job at the Daily Astorian as a news reporter, and I planned on staying 2 years. Well, plans changed. I ended up falling in love with the place. I did leave for a 14-year period in there, but I'm back, and I'm so happy to be back. And one of my favorite things in this community is our wonderful KMUN, our community radio station, our Coast Community Radio. So I'm really glad to be involved in it.
Yes, thank you. We're so glad you're back, Joan.
Thank you.
And Graham, tell us a bit about yourself, please.
Sure, happily. So I was working in the music industry in Portland. I was an audio engineer in venues and recording studios, and I also started to shift into radio broadcast work. And so I worked with Livewire Radio, which is kind of like Portland's version of Prairie Home Companion or a radio variety program. And then I also got a job as an audio engineer for Oregon Public Broadcasting. And so one of my first experiences in Astoria was with my uncle Jim Nystrom, who taught at the community college. He taught developmental ed at Clatsop Community College, reading and writing. And, you know, the first time coming into town and seeing the bridge and seeing the ships and everything, it was quite extraordinary. It was different back then. It was probably 15 years ago. And then in the more recent past, I came to town to play a show at the Voodoo Room with a band that I was in with Dusty Santa Maria. And that's when I met Jessamyn Grace, who's a programmer on KMUN. And Jess and I really hit it off, and we started seeing each other, and things got pretty serious. And I made the move to Astoria, working part-time in Portland and visiting with her and kind of starting to get involved with the station here. I had visited KBOO a couple of times, thinking maybe that they would have a place for someone with my skill set. And they were pretty maxed out with all the help that they could handle. And so it was really exciting to come here to see that maybe there was a place for me, because there were opportunities to help with engineering and with some of the upkeep of technical things around the station and stuff. And so I was able to, I guess, prove my abilities and prove my worth. And I was offered a job as Joey Patnod retired. Is the operations manager, which is doing the tech type stuff here. And then one thing led to another, and Joanne decided she would like to go to part-time, and the board was willing to offer me the job. And so here I am now, station manager.
And doing a wonderful job.
Well, thanks, Donna.
Absolutely. And Doug Sweet, please tell the listening audience about yourself.
I was just interested in listening to Graham talk about See, that's a radio romance. See, there's a lot absolutely of that going on around there. I've got one of my own, but I'm not going to tell you about it right now. It's too long.
Oh.
Too long a story. Well, I was in living in Cannon Beach in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, and I had a coffee house. I started a coffee house called the Bald Eagle Cafe, and there's still one down there, but it's not the same one. But and so I kind of got tired of doing that, and I sold it. My partner and I sold it, and then we built a house down there. And when we finished with that, I was kind of at loose ends, and that's when I got heard that there was a group up in Astoria trying to get a radio station on, a public radio station on the air. So I came up and volunteered, and since I had a few carpentry tools and that sort of thing, so I got involved with doing things like building the air room console and that sort of thing, and just got more and more involved. And it was when we were downtown at the time, we had our KMUN's studios were in high atop the Gunderson building, we used to call it, and that's midway down there in the, on the main drag of Astoria. And so anyway, I got involved, and then the woman who was there from KBOO was actually the original, had the original construction permit for the station, and then they couldn't raise enough money to do it, and so they gave it over to a local group in Astoria, and we bought them out, and the board did, for not very much money, luckily for us. And then we had to build the station, and that's what we did. And so, like you said, we went on the air in 1983, and I was there the first day. And then Harriet Vasquez, our first station manager, she was kind of living part-time in Astoria, or and she had a family and boyfriend and whatnot back in Portland. So she decided it was just better for her to move back to Portland. So she gave it up, moved back to Portland, and the board hired me to be the manager in late 83, somewhere in there. And then things went from there on. I don't know exactly how much you want me to talk about. I mean, a lot of things happened in all those years. You know, we went from just a few volunteers to a couple of hundred volunteers, you know, over a very short period of time. And we've had a lot of different great programming on the air. And we were sort of in a vanguard of having stations that were volunteer operated, that everybody heard on the air was not somebody that got paid to do it, but somebody who did it because they loved radio. So it was kind of a fairly new concept back in the early 80s.
I know, and I was wondering what compelled everyone to feel that they needed to have a public radio station. But you know what? Before you answer that, if you think about that for a second, I want to go to Graham and say, Graham, if you know a spaceship just landed in a parking lot and some aliens came out and said, what is KMUN? What is Coast Community Radio? What is that? What would you tell them?
The alien anthropologists that Roger Waters wrote an album about. Yeah, well, hopefully we don't amuse ourselves to death like Roger Waters predicted. And I think that, you know, the community radio station is a good example of the type of media outlet that really does benefit people in their hearts and in their heads, because it's not just pure entertainment. That is one aspect of what community radio is, but it's an educational license. It's a non-commercial license, and so the core of it is I think that educational element. And so we are here to inform people and to entertain people and to educate people, and we take all three of those things seriously. And I hope that our programming does deliver that. And I think that one of the great things about community radio is, like what Doug said, that it's volunteer operated, and by that fact, you are not going to hear anything from anyone that is driven by some outside interest. You're going to hear what people have in their hearts and in their heads, in an effort to share that with the listening audience, and And so there are no commercial interests here. We do have underwriters, which just means the business community supports what we do, and we support the business community in return. But we never tell people to buy something. We never tell people to what to do. We never talk about prices. And so that's kind of the difference between a commercial station and a non-commercial station. And so, you know, from our public affairs programming to our local and national news coverage to the wide variety of music and you know, and that one final piece about being volunteer operated and entertaining, you know, you are going to hear things on community radio that you will not hear anywhere else. And that was one of the things that I loved when I lived in Portland about listening to KBOO, and that's one of the things that I love about this station as well.
Right, and public radio does provide a voice for those who are underrepresented, because it's not about...
That is a major goal, yeah. And so, you know, that includes minority populations, cultural, ethnic, as well as women. And so, you know, this, I think this area is interesting because, you know, there are underserved minority populations, but I think, you know, here you get to talk about the populations of salmon, the populations of sea lions, populations of birds, whales, you know, and so razor clams, things that are impacted by human activity and human industry. And those, you know, those animals don't have a voice. And so the people come on this station and they argue against an LNG pipeline, and that pipeline doesn't go in. And so, you know, there are more than one type of underserved population, not just human. And not to get too woo-woo, but I think that that's important. And I think that that's something that people that are invested in community radio are invested in the natural world as well. And so, you know, we're not going to have arguments about climate change, but we're going to hopefully be informed about it. And so a lot of the nationally produced public affairs programs end up being about our climate and the impacts that human life has on the climate.
And community radio is still, I mean, there. It's, I mean, I feel like we are, and statistics would prove that we are. It's rare for a rural area to have a station with this kind of programming. We're a unicorn. We really are a
Absolutely.
Beautiful and rare creature. I mean, that's what Coast Community Radio is. And still is more important than ever, although I'm looking forward to Doug explaining, you know, how he saw changes over the years. And Doug, I'm just going to do a quick station ID here, which is, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Coast Community Radio. This is KMUN's Talk of Our Town's Public Affairs Program. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today we're talking about the Coast Community Radio 35th birthday party happening this Saturday night at the Astor Ruins in downtown Astoria. It's a big party for everyone from 6 to 10, food and drink and music and fabulous people. So we hope that you all will come and to that event, and we'll hear more about that in the second half of the program from Joan Herman, who is the board president. She's here in the studio along with Graham Nystrom, who's the station manager, who's just been speaking. And we have Doug Sweet, the former station manager. He really was the station manager pretty much from the beginning. And so, Doug, why did you all feel there was a need for a public radio, a community radio station here, and why do you think it's still relevant?
Well, you know, at the time, all you could hear on the air in towns like Astoria and in Astoria was the commercial stations. And the commercial stations, you know, kind of had their own thing going with, you know, fast talking DJs, and you know, they played only one kind of music. You know, in fact, that's pretty much all they did was play music. There was very little on the radio about things that were going on in the community, and you know, the community was changing very rapidly at the time in the early 80s. You know, the fishing was dropping off. There was still some fish packing houses on the waterfront, unlike today, you know, and there was still some kind of that kind of thing going on, a lot of logging and whatnot in the hills, but otherwise, you know, there was not much going on in the town. So people needed to be able to talk to each other about what was going on and how to proceed in the world, and that was one of the things that was really very popular, the focus at the beginning was a lot of different kind of music, put a lot of good different kind of music on the air, but also have a lot of public affairs and programs to talk about, you know, hey, what's going on in, over in Washington? What kind of politics are we going to have around here? You know, how do we fix this? How do we fix that? Just all kinds of things going on. And so you needed to be able to talk to people about it and not just get, you know, run the mayor in and the city council member in, you know, every week, but talk to people who are affected by what's going on in the community. And, you know, we tried to do that very assiduously in the beginning. And I think it's continued, throughout the whole history of the station.
Absolutely. And what is interesting, Graham and I were talking about this earlier, too, is that many of the things that you all incorporated into the schedule 35 years ago are still happening, which I think is wonderful in this world in which everything is so rapidly changing and we feel unmoored so much of the time. It's wonderful that we can count on certain things being the same, even as obviously there will be changes. And so I know you're speaking to the past 35 years. I mean, not 35, but the past. The past 35 years, you have that perspective. And then, of course, Graham is looking at now and the future 35 years, you know, what stays the same and what changes. And I think Joan wanted to talk a little bit about some of our programming and some of the things that you're from your perspective.
Well, I did want to let folks know a little bit more about the party this
Saturday.
That's right.
We better keep that party focus on.
It is going to be in what is known as the Ruins of the Astor. And I want to thank Paul Caruana for opening up this beautiful space for the party. It's really a magnificent space. And if you haven't been there before, the ruins simply is the first floor of the Astor. It's not crumbling. It is beautiful. And it's a great party space. The event will be Saturday from 6 to 10. So if some of you are taking an art walk, why don't you just come on over to the ruins afterward? You can pop on in. There's no cover, although donations are gratefully accepted for our nonprofit radio station. We will have Fort George beer, mixed drinks from Pilot House Distilling, sandwiches from Good to Go, birthday cake, of course, and great music from DJ Joey Altruda, who also is a Coast Community Radio programmer. So we're very grateful for our sponsors. But we just want to encourage everyone to come have a really nice time celebrating our station. It's 35th birthday and hopefully 35 more years at least.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And that is going to be, that's the thing to do Saturday night is go to the art walk and then come to the party.
Yes, and one last thing. All ages are welcome. So children are welcome to come.
Oh, family event. Yes. And speaking of that and how the community is engaged, KMUN has bedtime stories Sunday through Thursday. And Graham, why don't you talk a little bit about how the community is involved? Because you're looking at what is relevant today and what's going to be relevant for the future. And this was an interesting experience that showed how people really care about one of our programs.
Yeah, absolutely. I love talking about bedtime stories because I think it's a really great example of who we are, where we've been, and where we're going, and how this works. We kind of questioned whether people were still listening to bedtime stories. We wondered if there were other options for programming that might make for a fresh change. And so we talked about making some changes, and the community spoke up and said, no, bedtime stories is a signature show. It's part of what makes this radio station special. It's part of the identity of this radio station. And so, you know, we set up a way for the community to give us feedback. And so I'll give that email address now. It's feedback@coastradio.org. And so we actively solicited feedback from the community and said, what do you think? What do you want? And they said, we want bedtime stories. And so, you know, we heard from families, we heard from kids, we heard from parents, we heard from grandparents, we heard from past and previous and current bedtime stories programmers. And so, you know, what we decided, though, that what was missing was more involvement from the youth who we are trying to serve, the children we're trying to serve. And so now we've got sort of a fresh boost for the show because, you know, we've got some of our programmers bringing children in from local elementary and middle schools to do their shows. We've got one middle school teacher who wants her class, her elective class, to be about creating bedtime stories. And so that's a project that's going to start, and that's going to actually be more like young adult fiction that's going to follow bedtime stories on Sunday at 8:30 to 9. And so there is just kind of new life being breathed into bedtime stories, which is what's really exciting for me because, you know, this was community radio in action. It was the community saying what they wanted, and it was the community stepping up and delivering it. And so, you know, I think it's just a real, it's a real success story for the station and for the community and for the program and programmers and, yeah,
well, engaging people. That's what Doug was talking about, that people needed a way to engage with each other. And that's still happening. I mean, last night on Bedtime Stories, Gary had a celebrity guest reader.
Right.
It was Jimmy Pearson, the director of the library. It was fun.
And, you know, we're looking for even more ways to expand that. You know, we've talked about having a reader circle at the library. We are doing more outreach to the schools because, you know, the important thing is that people are listening. And so, you know, we've got these incredible posters advertising bedtime stories that Petra Mathers and her husband created. She's a local children's stories author who has been giving us permissions to read her stories on the air, and that's been really wonderful. And so, you know, we look forward to connecting with more of the schools. And as these kids come in to read their bedtime stories, we know that their classmates are going to want to tune in and listen, and maybe they're going to want to get engaged. And that is really what this is all about.
And there are ways for the community to be involved. We have volunteers here at the station. We have a variety of different ways people volunteer, from sitting at the front desk, answering phones, to helping us with our newsletters. And so there are lots of ways people can engage. So why don't you tell people how they can do that? Give us some contact
info.
Yeah,
it's springtime, so there's a yard work crew that we're putting together, and we're having a lot of fun pulling ivy off of trees.
Okay.
And, besides the feedback at Coast Radio email address, that email goes to all staff members. And so that those emails get read, they get responded to. And beyond that, you can come to the station and fill out an application, a volunteer application. And so that's kind of step one to getting involved at the station. And like Donna said, there's a lot of ways you can be involved, whether you have strength with engineering and IT and technology. We do remote recordings, and we need more engineers to go out into the community and record public events and public meetings. We could always use support in that kind of technical field. Our front desk volunteers are amazing. They are kind of like the first stop for people that come in the door and for phone calls that come in. They're kind of like our switchboard operator, and they help with digitizing our CD library. We've got volunteers who just work on the digital CD library. And that's not because we're getting rid of CDs, but it's just because we want to make sure that as CD players come and go, as CDs get scratched, we want to make sure that we have backup copies of everything. And also it just provides a new way for programmers to access the music, you know, is through a computer in the air room, and they can do a search for an artist and see everything we have. So lots of ways to get involved. Come fill out a volunteer application. Janet's our volunteer coordinator, and I love getting involved too with the training process, and so lots of ways to get involved.
And we're actually just coming. We only have a few minutes left here, so I want to give each one of you a chance to say another thing. So Doug, I would love you to tell us not only about, you know, why the last what you've enjoyed about the last 35 years, but why you think that this station, Coast Community Radio, is still so vital and relevant.
Well, you know, I think there's a symbiotic relationship between having the station start up when it did, the condition, kind of the direction the town was going, and where it's gone since then, and what it's doing now. I mean, if you look at things like the success of the Maritime Museum, the waterfront, you know, the walkway, walk along the waterfront, the railroad, you know, the little train that goes along there, the way the community college has, classic community college has done well, the way the town has turned itself into a really great tourist destination. A lot of that came through because people were excited about a new direction for the town when it was sort of starting to kind of get loose from losing its traditional businesses at the time. And so I think the radio station in the town kind of moved along together, but in a symbiotic relationship, because you had people talking about it so that everybody could listen to the conversation. And that's what broadcast radio does, what community radio does, is allow the community to speak to itself and have this conversation, not just one-on-one or one-on-three in the local coffee shop, but, a lot of people can listen in on the conversation and get involved with it by calling in or coming down to volunteer or just talking to people, you know, as you know, when you see the radio hosts walking down the street, you know, or having coffee somewhere.
Yes, the station.
So that's the beauty of a community radio station.
Creates community, reflects community.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Doug. And Joan, what would you like to say? Any last things you'd like to say?
I just think community radio is crucial for our democracy, no less. We are a voice for the community, literally. And without this voice, we have a lot less information going out to all of you. For example, we're running interviews with all of the local candidates for the Clatsop County Board of Commissioners, as well as the Oregon House of Representatives, District 32. That's just one example of what we do. I did forget to name one of our wonderful sponsors, Anchor Graphics, for providing all of the printing for promotional materials. So thank you, Anchor Graphics.
So important. And again, why don't you mention a little bit more about the party one more time.
It's
Let's talk about the
Saturday
party.
Saturday evening, 6 to 10 p.m. on the ground floor, also known as the ruins of the Astor on Commercial Street between 14th and 15th in Astoria. No cover, Fort George beer, mixed drinks by Pilot House Distilling. We welcome everyone, all ages. We want to have a big community celebration. Oh, and great music by DJ Joey Altruda. So we hope you can stop by 6 to 10 p.m. Saturday evening in Astoria. Tallest building in town if you haven't been here. Right on the main drag, Commercial Street.
Yes. Thank you, Joan. That's great. That is going to be so much fun. I'm really excited about that. Graham, you kind of can bring this all together here at the end here.
So I'm excited because this party does coincide with Second Saturday Art Walk. So there are going to be a lot of people out. The community is already out. And so this is just one more destination to add. And it's a come and go kind of a party. And, you know, as the board considers ways to help fundraise for the station, you know, we talk about events. And, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of events you could do. We talked about doing a concert, but it just kind of occurred to me that when you're at a concert, you're hyper-focused on who's on stage, and you're not really having conversations and things with your friends and neighbors. And so we decided to just have a get-together, because it's so fun to just get together and be able to talk and, for lack of a better word, party, you know, celebrate. It's a great opportunity to celebrate the station, because 35 is a bit of a milestone, and we do look forward to the next 35 years. But the point is, come to the party and just hang out, meet the staff, meet the volunteers, meet the programmers, and meet each other. You know, we're all part of this community. And like Joan said, you know, it's reflecting, or you said it's reflecting as well as creating community. And it's essential to the democracy. And so if you've thought about getting involved, if you've thought about programming, this is a great way to just kind of come and see, meet a lot of people, get the conversation started.
The station is for everyone, and it has something for everyone. If there's a program that is not your cup of tea, I guarantee you there will be one that is your cup of tea.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much, Joan, for being here today. And thank you, Graham and Doug.
Happy to do it.
Doug, really appreciate your perspective on it, and hope we're going to see you here in the community and hopefully at the party. Yes?
He said he will be there.
Yay.
I'll be here on set. Saturday.
Yes, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you so much. What a great way to connect. Thank you, everyone. Everyone who helped create the station, continue, and all the people who continue to keep it going. So, see you all Saturday night at the Astor Ruins, 6 to 10. Thank you so much. Graham was the engineer this morning, and also my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. Until next week. Find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's so good for body, mind, and spirit. And then focus on the things that you're grateful for that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that aren't, but with gratitude for the things that are, we can feel better in a world which can sometimes make us feel not so good. So give yourself today a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. And for doing the best you can, everyone really is, and for being here now. Here now, in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.